The Real Estate Revolution is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice. Please consult your trusted financial advisor, real estate professional, or attorney before making any real estate or financial decisions. Please remember, when following advice, your results may vary, and all information covered here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the hosts and guests consider important. It's a real estate revolution with the latest revolution. You get fun and the facts, you will keep coming back. It's time to live the life you choose. And now it's time for a power hour from America's trusted resource for everything real estate. Everything in the real estate industry is in a constant movement of change. It's a real estate revolution with your host, Victoria Riva De Nera. The Riva regulars, special guests, and your call-in comments. Welcome to the Real Estate Revolution.
Revolution, revolution, revolution.
Hi, and welcome to this week's Revolution with Victoria Riva De Nera and, of course, our great co-host Phil Ferranda. I'm Vinny Romano saying we're live from New York. And Riva, what's happening this week?
Oh, there's a lot happening this week. You know, Vinny, we call our show the Real Estate Revolution. I want to thank everyone, number one, for listening to us and coming to our station live. We have many guests that show up each week, and we also have callers that call, and that's also really wonderful. But I want to talk about a revolution. So a revolution, as defined in the dictionary, is a transformation of political change where people come together to revolutionize a country, with the end result being a change in philosophies. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be a political agenda. For instance, the internet revolutionized how we communicate with each other. And right here today on our show, and every Wednesday, this is the Real Estate Revolution. And the revolution has the intent to bring a revolution to our industry. And our industry is experiencing many challenges. And it's up to us, the people in the industry, right, Phil? Us, all of us. Not just here at the studio, but our listeners and everyone in the industry, to come together and bring positive change for the greater good of our business. And that's a real estate revolution. And tonight, we have a very hot topic. What's our topic tonight?
Well, tonight the topic is professionalism. By the way, in Webster's search, the popularity of that particular word is in the top 100% of 1%, excuse me, of all lookups. The simple definition is the skill, good judgment, and polite behavior that is expected from a person who is trained to do a job well. And with Phil Ferranda starting this off, Phil, tell me something good.
Okay, well, I have a few thoughts on professionalism.
A few thoughts.
So,
enlighten us.
All right. So there's some defining characteristics. There are skills.
Yes.
And there are traits.
Yes.
Okay. So the defining characteristics of professionals for me would be to advocate, would be to educate, and would be to communicate. All right.
Okay.
We advocate for the client.
Okay.
We educate the client. In other words, we're not carrier pigeon. If the client says something to us that we feel is an instruction that is going to backfire on them, then it's in our obligation to let them know what the consequences are of that. And it would be to communicate. In other words, to keep them in the loop as to what's going on in their real estate transaction. Skills. All right. These are in the areas of expertise and competence. All right.
Okay.
The client expects and deserves local knowledge.
Yes,
they expect
do.
The ability to negotiate, which is a very nuanced thing. They expect them to know property values and market conditions. In short, they have to be current. They have to know what's going on right now. And they have to understand the mechanics of the transaction for many reasons, not the least of which is to manage the expectations of the client. Because the most common question we are asked as real estate professionals is, what's next? Okay, we signed the contract. What's next? All right, we made an offer. What's next? That sort of thing. The last thing, traits. of a professional. And there's one thing in here that you said, Vin, that I'm going to go straight to, in control of their emotions. You said expected from a person who's trained to do a job well, polite.
Yes.
All polite. Too often in our industry, all too often in the industry, there is this silly ego-driven thing.
In our industry?
Yeah, it's silly. Where the broker, who's really there to diffuse the emotions of the principals who are, you know, attached to this, throws fuel on the fire instead of diffuses the emotion.
That's
so,
right.
Traits have to be honesty.
I just heard something. I have to interject here.
Sure.
Because I thought it was such a great line.
But she politely interjected.
It's wonderful.
That? Very politely. Very politely interjected.
Okay.
They say that people do not really want to fight. They don't want to fight to be right. They want to fight to be heard. And all people want to do is to know that they matter. So in line with what you're saying, a broker should be diffusing an issue. So someone's upset, they call. It is the broker's job to sit down and hear what they have to say.
Right, to actively listen.
Yes.
To not just wait for the other person to stop talking so
Correct.
That you can continue to talk.
And be present when they're present.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So,
traits.
I'll get back to the list because I don't want to make it look like I'm waiting for you to stop talking so I can talk.
No, you politely can go on.
All right,
now.
Enough
Thank
of
you.
That. All right, okay. So, honesty. All right. One of the worst things about the real estate profession is our reputation among the public is just above used car salesmen. And in some cases, with some of the people I've run across, I don't want to insult used car salesmen. But honesty is a problem.
Don't hold back, Phil. Don't start holding back.
Tell us how you really feel.
All right? Honesty is a problem in the industry. Another trait that...
They don't necessarily mean to be dishonest in some cases. They're just over-promising. Do you agree with that sometimes?
There's all kinds of reasons why we dig our own hole.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And we have to sleep in our own bed. But yeah, over-promising and under-delivering creates the outcome of people believing that we have an honesty issue. Being passionate about their work. You can't do this without loving this work.
I don't think you can do anything without truly loving what you do.
That's true, but we're not paid by the hour.
That's right.
We're not paid by the hour. We're paid to produce the results.
That's correct.
All right.
And it's a service industry. You have to provide the service.
And here's something we seldom bring up, but I'll bring it up because it's an obsession of mine, and that is preoccupied with the experience of the client. It is important.
Explain that.
Well, the job's to close the deal, right? Well, if we close the deal at the expense of the sanity of the client, in other words, it closed, but they don't know what hit them, then we haven't done our job. We want to do this in such a way that we shepherd the transactions that the person knows that they're in good hands throughout the whole thing, and when it closes, they expect that everything was done in their interest. They don't have a feeling that, like, it just happened while they were screaming up and down, that they wanted to be heard.
Yes.
My questions weren't answered. I just sat here. I didn't know what happened next. I guess I'm okay. But the client saying, wow, I want to use you again, is a passion of mine. That's what I want. I want people to love the brand because of the experience they had and not want to say, I never want to do that again. That's client experience is an obsession that more professionals need to have.
I agree with you. Vinny, do you agree?
Well, not only do I agree, Phil makes the points in a very articulate way. And here's the bottom line. It's not only getting the deal done. We've been saying this for years. I believe the true professionals in the business always have said that. You want to make the client happy. It's not only make them satisfied that they own a piece of property or they sold their piece of property. They have to be satisfied. A win-win, a good negotiation is where both people walk away thinking they got what they were looking for. And maybe we have some callers online. Can we have somebody
Our
for
there?
Our
phones are lit up. We have Vincent on one of the lines, I believe. Vincent, are you with us?
With you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you today?
Hey, Victoria, it's Vincent Arcuri calling you from Tampa.
Oh, from Tampa, Florida, one of my favorite places.
Sunny Tampa.
That's beautiful weather out here today.
Awesome.
You know, I'm listening to what you're saying, and, you know, I think one of the biggest issues that we have industry-wide right now is, you know, back in the day, you know, when I started selling real estate years ago, 25 years ago, everybody closed in the same room, the transactions were smoother, the agents cooperated with each other. the agents, made it smooth. We helped one another to make sure that the transaction was smooth. And what I'm seeing a lot of now are people trying to impress their clients and find issues. And I don't know if it's they feel like they need to earn their commission, or they feel like by finding problems, they're justifying the commission that they're getting on a transaction, or if they're impressing their clients or they feel that way. But what I feel like is happening is, as these, as the waters get muddied, if you will, people are less they're more reluctant to use that agent again because they have a bad experience. They felt like it was rough, and the agent has the perception that they've earned their commission or that they're really good for fighting for these particular issues. But it's turned the clients off to the point where they don't want to use that agent again. Five years down the road, that client goes to sell, and they don't use that agent.
Vincent, I agree with you. You know, I, too, have been selling real estate 25 years. I no longer sell real estate, but I started 25 years ago with you. And I will say, things have changed drastically from back in the day until now. Back then, we controlled all of the data. And if you wanted to buy real estate, you had to walk into a real estate office, and that was the goal, was to get them into the office. We were even taught that. Don't give the address out on the phone. Get them into the office. And we were in control of it. We also didn't have social media, so we had to build real face-to-face relationships with other real estate professionals so that we can really work together in a whole different fashion than we do today. I think what you're saying is happening today is simply because there are professionals or non-professionals,
licensees,
thank you, and they do not know or understand what their value proposition is, and they're trying desperately, they have this need to show what their value is, so they're creating problems so that they can become the solution. Do you agree with that?
I do, and there is a little bit of a bad gameplay that some agents do, which is when they goof, instead of saying, you know, I goofed and I'll fix it, they try and deflect blame over to the other side, and it creates acrimony and adversarial tones where it doesn't need to be done.
That's correct.
Agree. Yeah, I think agent incompetence is the number one problem in our industry today.
Well, Vincent, thank you so much for your call. We have to go to a break now.
Love the show. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Vincent, from Tampa. Make sure you go to Burns when you're down there, one of my favorite places, and just live vicariously through you. We're going to take a short break and come on back with more callers. This is the Real Estate Revolution. Remember, you can call 845-362-0013 or watch us on Periscope TV, Revolution on Facebook at Victoria Riva or on YouTube. So dial up there or watch us. So listen anywhere in the world at WRCR.com. We'll be back with Paul in just 2 minutes.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage. They will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMSL 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138. Or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
It's time for the revolution. The revolution. is that solution. We sought views of confusion. Come join the revolution.
Hey, we're back at the Real Estate Revolution with Reva herself live. You can call 845-362-0013. We're talking about professionalism in the real estate industry, and we have Paul on the line. Paul, can you hear us? That would be your turn to say, yes, you can.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. How are you, Paul?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Do you have a question for us?
Well, I just think, you know, what you've talked about thus far is, you know, how do we control that aspect of the process? How do we know going into it that we're going to receive this type of professionalism?
Wow, that's a phenomenal question. And what I would do is Google something along the lines of questions to ask a real estate agent before you hire them. That's what I would do, Paul. The complaints that we get from the consumers, from the public about our predecessors or the agent that they used before they used us, or when we're just in social media and people complain about real estate licensees. And we, you know, you have to go back, kind of rewind. Well, how did you hire this agent? Well, you know, he was my son's little league coach, or I knew him from work, or we knew him from. There's got to be a connection. We talked about relationships
right.
a couple
and
of
we also
shows
talked about
ago.
People do business with whom they like and trust.
Yeah, right. So you know him, you like him, and you trust him. But did you know enough to ask them? Is this your specialty? Is this your full-time thing? So I'd say there's probably about five questions you should ask an agent along the lines of, how many houses have you sold the past year? Now, there's no wrong answer. If it's three, maybe he has three really, really happy clients. And if it's 25, maybe he has 20 people that are really upset with him because he never returned their calls because he was too busy. But how many are you full-time? Again, no
That's
wrong
a
answer.
Big question. Full-time.
Full-time is, to many people, an important thing. I have part-time agents working for my company, and there's no sin to be part-time, but it's a sin to have a part-time mentality.
Yes.
How well do you know the local market? What would you do for me that will take care of, say, for example, the sale of my house? What are you going to do that other agents won't do? How long have you been doing this? Who's on your team? Are you a solo operator? Do you have a team? Do you have an admin? Do you have a transaction coordinator? Who's answering the phone after 5 p.m.? That sort of thing.
And can I contact your previous clients?
There's a good one. By the way, that's the Easter egg. That's the Easter egg. Do you have references? Because when Zillow, for example, came out with agent ratings, it caused quite the kerfuffle because, God forbid, we have transparency. But the concern among agents when they came out with ratings was not that our past clients would say we did a good job. Because
it was that they would say we did not do a good job.
It would be because that one person who was unreasonable would flame us.
Mm-hmm.
Or that agents would game the system. They'd get their mother-in-law and every cousin in their family to write a bogus review of them. Or they would flame their competitors.
Right.
But there is an
algorithm. And that's where professionalism comes in.
Well, yeah. I'd say lying online probably is not the professional thing to do.
No, but you can also understand who someone is when somebody has a complaint and how they handle it.
But the short version is, exactly, how do you handle adversity is a phenomenal mm-hmm. thing to look at. But the short answer to it is ask questions, look up references, do your homework, do your research, and in the end, go with your gut. And most of the time, you'll be happy with the results if you do that.
Yep, I agree.
What do you
with
think
that.
Of that, Paul?
Well, I think that's great because, again, like you've stated, a lot of this starts online, and we're not walking down to the corner to meet with the local agents. So it's hard to, you know, get those questions answered beforehand. But certainly, I need to ask those, you know, before I choose an agent.
Great. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
Oh, great. We love people from all over the country. Paul, thank you so much for your call. We've got somebody else on the line.
Well, I have a question first for Phil.
Okay, for Paul. Hang on.
No, not for Paul. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, thank you
Paul.
So much.
I have a question for Phil. We're talking about the five questions. And one of the things that he didn't touch on is the first impression of the agent. And I really do want to touch on this because they say dressing for success is something that's very important, and your image tells a lot. And that first impression, you can only have the first time.
You only get one shot at the first impression.
But there are many people, particularly the younger generation, that doesn't believe that we should be dressed formally. Now, I personally like to dress.
What's formally?
What's appropriately? A jacket, dress shirt, you know, a suit, perhaps.
Why is that appropriate?
It's appropriate for me.
Ah.
That's what I said. Now, for the younger generation, it is not. Now, maybe the .com era changed that a little bit. I mean, Steve Jobs was the ultimate professional, no?
He did okay for himself.
I think so. Tony Hsieh, one of my favorite CEOs, you know, Zappos. I love Zappos. And I love how he handles his business and how he grew his business.
Context is everything.
Jeans and t-shirts.
Context is everything. If you're in a vacation market and you're showing beachfront houses and you show up in flip-flops and shorts, that may be
acceptable.
The wardrobe of that industry,
yeah, that
of that
acceptable.
Market.
I'll tell you from experience, Phil. In Hawaii, you wear aloha apparel. If you wear a shirt and a tie in Hawaii, you look like an idiot.
Exactly. Now, if you're in, for example, a very low-priced market and you show up in a three-piece suit, you might intimidate people. If you are walking into a really, really high net worth situation, a tie might be a good idea. And we also had, you know, sort of an interesting thing. You know, we had a listing in my hometown of Briarcliff Manor. My client contacted me and said, somebody just showed this house. And I wasn't that impressed. I said, well, what do you mean? You know, people can dress however they want. She said, no, not the buyers. She said the agent showed up in flip-flops and yoga pants.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, this is my $750,000 house. Could we treat it like it's a $750,000 piece of business?
Right. And the seller immediately thought, what?
Not professional. Now,
not professional, and that she did not take her job seriously, and therefore would not be able to negotiate properly. She might be the best negotiator on the planet.
She wasn't, but yeah.
I was hoping you would say that she was, because now you can justify why she showed up
dressed. No, you know what I'm going to tell you? Here's the truth. That agent happened to have a law degree.
Okay.
That agent happened to be the broker owner of the company, but that agent gave a horrible first impression, and your point is well taken. She could have had, you know, the goods.
Right.
But you only get one chance to make a first impression, and that's a loss.
So do you agree that the first
Absolutely.
Impression and the image of the professional really does show who they are?
Absolutely.
Yes? Vinny?
Well, you know, I don't like the first impression thing. I will agree that everybody tries to put you in a pigeonhole or make themselves comfortable by putting you in a category based on how you look and how you speak. Back home, how you doing was the way everybody spoke, and that was absolutely fine. However, over and over again, as you live a little bit more through life, you find out that if you give somebody a chance to get beyond the first impression, you might find a depth or a breadth of their abilities that will really impress you. With that in mind, being appropriate is very difficult depending on the situation. Phil said it a little bit better than me earlier. And that being said, you have to be appropriate to the situation. If you're going to sell a multi-million dollar property, even if you don't wear a tie, you should be wearing really nice loafers and really nice slacks. And really nice shoes.
So here's one, and this is a generational thing. I had an agent in my employ who asked me about earrings. Is it okay if I wear an earring? All right. Now, I don't have a problem if a guy wears an earring. And let me also say, I love yoga pants.
Okay.
Can I say
okay,
that?
Yeah.
I love
you can say that.
But not on me. But not on you either.
Oh, yeah, baby.
But in general, I'm
a Victoria.
Fan. Oh, very wonderful.
So at any rate,
okay, let's move on. Do we have another caller on the phone?
Caller.
Let's see who it is. And where are you from? Who is this?
It's Charlie Brown.
Hey, Charlie, where are you from again?
Marathon, Florida.
Okay, Marathon, right in the key.
Charlie Brown.
Talk to us, Charlie. Tell me something good.
Well, it's 85 and sunny, and it's always beautiful in the Marathon, that's for sure.
That's awesome.
Hey, I appreciate the phone call, but I'm probably going to go at this a little bit different. You know, I've been in the business a long time, and where I saw a change in professionalism is when the word fiduciary walked out of the business. And so because that was a broker driven thing. It's not an agent or a client thing. That is broker. I'm a broker, and well, I think everybody on the show is a broker, but we did that as a group to let that walk away. Well, and really what happened is when you don't have those type of relationships, the training also changed then, because the broker had a little bit less responsibility, because now it was either transaction broker or no representation or transaction broker. So really I think the mindset of brokers also changed. With that word kind of left the industry.
Charlie, you know, it's all real estate is local, and it is indicative that
in Florida, they're transactional.
Yeah, they're transactional brokers, and we have different agency laws here in New York. Mm-hmm. And we also are an attorney state, and you in Florida use title and closing companies.
Right. And in New York, we do have a fiduciary responsibility.
Yeah,
right.
Yep. Yeah, you can't... Yeah. You can't be a transactional broker in residential real estate in New York. But the importance of stressing the fiduciary responsibility, if you have it in your local marketplace, is profound.
Phil, would you explain that for people who don't understand the concept of a fiduciary?
Okay, so a fiduciary is someone who is advocating for you and cannot work for their own interests in the transaction,
right.
Okay? If I walk into a electronics store and there's a guy there who really needs to make quota and I'm looking for headphones or a Bluetooth, okay? This guy is going to be paid based on how much he can sell me,
yep.
Okay? All right? Now, the pay model in real estate does create tension with this, but the idea is that if we know something about a property that is contrary to the best interests of our client, we have an obligation to tell them that there's a defect with this property.
Yes, and that obligation is called a fiduciary
right.
responsibility.
So who's your fiduciary? Your doctor's a fiduciary. Your stockbroker or financial advisor is typically a fiduciary.
Attorney.
Your CPA is a fiduciary. They have to keep everything you tell them in confidence. They have to tell you only what is in your best interests. They are your advocate. They are your advocate.
Right. So now his question is based in Florida, and he does not have a fiduciary responsibility. So he is seeing a change in the professionalism in the industry in his local market.
Right, and you don't necessarily have to be a fiduciary to be professional, but it is interesting that when that was taken out of the equation in their locale, that it undermined the professional ethos mm-hmm. of the agent population, and that's unfortunate. Luckily for us, we have the obligations.
So, Charlie, how are you dealing with that?
Well, I mean, you still have that option to work as a single agent, but of course, you know, it's that liability rule. No one does it. But I basically, when I take a listing, I'm a single agent.
Okay.
Because I feel that I cannot personally sell that property if I know all the defects, which I have to. In Florida, you have to disclose all known defects, material facts. It's a slippery slope because of the fact that if you try to sell the house, now you've got to transition to a transaction broker. But and really what I'm saying, it has to be where the broker in charge, whether it's an independent office or a franchise, has to take some responsibility for their agent's actions. And that's what I'm getting at. When you don't have any that relationship, it's real easy to forget what's important, and that is the client first.
Absolutely, Charlie. And, you know, in the state of New York... We have we have what's called vicarious liability for the actions of our brokers, of our licensees as brokers. Victoria and I are both brokers. I am currently a broker. If any one of my 60 agents does something contrary to a client's best interest, the law sees it as if I did that, even though if I was in a different zip code.
You did. They're all your listeners.
Well, here's the funny part. That is still our rule in Florida.
Really?
Yes. It's not the agent that still answers that. It's still the broker.
It's still the broker. It's still the broker
still
in Florida.
The broker.
But the agency laws give you sort of a back door.
Right. And what happens on this, now we get people, I mean, right now in Marathon, I'll probably tell you there's visitors right now. This is what we call our season because we are second on season. We have many buyers in New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, where it's a totally opposite. And so what agents have to do in other markets that fill that position. They really need to explain the whole process. Well, most agents don't see value in sitting down and talking to a client for more than 20 minutes and showing them property. So I train agents, if you're not sitting down for an hour prior to showing property, then you're doing a misjustice to yourself and to the client, because that's when you get that chance to explain, as you were saying earlier, my transaction quarter will take over once we find a house here. This is what's going to happen. Here's the calendar. On this day, this is going to occur.
But, Charlie, when you're from New York, you don't spend more than 20 minutes doing anything.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but if you're not doing it, then if you're not training your own client, because this is where also that problem is, the client needs to understand, especially from an out-of-state point, that this is really, besides their main state house in New York, it becomes their second most important purchase of their life. And if they don't understand the process, it makes it a very unpleasant thing for them.
Charlie, phenomenal points. Thank you for the call. Phenomenal points. It is a second home. Is the second biggest transaction of your life. Your primary residence is the biggest, typically.
Typically the largest asset you will own.
One thing Charlie said. By the way, Charlie, it's Charlie Brown, right?
That's correct.
I have an agent, an associate broker in my firm by the name of Joe Cool.
I'm about to do the Snoopy dance.
I had a client named Dan Boone, whose attorney was named Bill Cody. I'm not kidding you.
Well, now you have to understand my wife's name is Lori Farmer Brown. So you see, it's all relevant.
Lori Farmer Brown. That's
hey, Charlie.
If I were named Lori Farmer, would I marry a guy named Brown? I guess she must love you.
Thank you.
You know,
once again. Thank you for your call, Charlie. We got to go to break in just a moment.
Okay.
We know you call all the time. We really appreciate you joining the Real Estate Revolution. Remember, we're live from New York, 6 to 7 p.m. every Wednesday, right here on WRCR AM 1700, and also anywhere in the world on WRCR.com. We're streaming all over the place. The Real Estate Revolution with Phil Ferranda and Reva herself will be back in just 2 minutes.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage. They will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMSL 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO Pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138. Or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
It's time for the revolution. The real estate solution. We sought you that confusion. Come join the revolution.
All right, we're back here at the Real Estate Revolution with Phil Ferranda and Reva herself. Live, my name is Vinny Romano, and you can call in at 845-362-0013. We're here every Wednesday at 6 p.m., and just to let you know, next week's topic will be what, Phil?
Social media, which I've heard of.
Social media.
Social media.
It's almost everywhere.
Social media is something that I would like to touch on this show as well, only because it ties into some things that are happening, and they may not always be professional on social media. So, let's,
are you inferring that people on social media might not be appropriate?
They may not be. They may be practicing inappropriate behavior, yes.
Let's talk about that.
And listen, if you're going to practice inappropriate behavior, it's better if it's live in real life.
Just come on the show.
Yeah, come on and do it, baby.
And wear yoga pants, right? All right.
Let's get
social
it back.
Social media.
Okay, so here's an example of, professionalism lacking on social media. For example, someone takes a listing, kind of an unusual listing. It requires a special skill set. Maybe it's a short sale.
And then they go to social media.
Then they
and
go on some group
asking,
and say, how do I do a short sale?
Right.
So they're crowdsourcing and cutting their teeth on social media at the expense of their client.
I recently saw a post. Not only did they go to social media and crowdsource about, looking for advice and cutting their teeth, like you said, but gave a very personal situation of their client. And I found that to be very unprofessional.
That's dicey, because we talked about a professional respecting the privacy and the confidentiality of the client.
Right. That fiduciary thing.
Right. And they feel, this is my belief, they're feeling that because they're not naming the person or identifying the address of the home, that they are keeping them anonymous. And
nonsense.
They're not. Because you can very clearly figure out who this person is talking
about. You know
what?
Stephen Wright, the comedian, said, it's a small world, but I wouldn't want to paint it. And the bottom line, on social media, it's a tiny, tiny world.
It is a tiny world.
Exactly. Small town. So there's a meme with Kermit the Frog sipping iced tea, but that's none of my business. It's when the person that you lost the listing to goes on a real estate group and asks how to fill out a contract.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling of... What did you promise these people?
I'm so sorry.
And to go back to one of the first callers...
So that's not professionalism, is it?
Well...
But it's happening more and more.
Yeah, and we had a caller say, well, how do we find out how we get a professional agent? Well, if they don't have, do you know how to fill out a contract? That's one of the questions.
But they already gave them the listing.
Yeah. Yeah, that should be asked prior to putting your name down in ink on paper. So another thing that I want to circle back to was a caller who talked about it. The professional thing to do is to sit down with a buyer for an hour before you take them out to see houses. And this falls into managing the expectations of a buyer.
And you opened the show with that. You said they want to know what's next.
What comes next.
You need, as the professional, to set the expectations for them so there are no surprises.
Correct.
With that in mind, and I was joking with Charlie about that.
Are you interjecting politely?
I'm not, actually. I'm just barging right in. I'm from the Bronx.
You're
this
welcome. Come on in.
Okay.
Come on. We got Entenmann's
so
right here. Come
the
on.
Bottom line. We're talking
where
about
you been?
That.
You look good.
Oh, right.
You look so thin.
Yes.
Have
so
something
thin,
to eat.
Eat something. The thing is that I find that if the agent is not professional, of course, teaching for a bunch of years, one of the main items you want to do is set the expectations properly so there won't be disappointment later. And if the agent is weak, what happens is the excitement of the client or customer has a tendency to make the agent cut corners, thinking that if they spend too much time at the listing, they're not going to get it, or if they don't get that buyer right out there to show them a house right away, they're going to be all upset. And I think that is part of what has... give me a good word here, Phil.
Kerfuffled?
Yes, kerfuffled. I never use that word. So speak to that, would you?
Okay, sure. So when
kerfuffled.
When the agent is a carrier pigeon, when they don't properly advise or educate the client, and we're in a free fall going along with the whim of really an uneducated person that is looking to someone else for guidance, but really the only guidance they're giving is sort of whatever you want, you're sort of skiing on the black diamond when you should be on the bunny trail. And mistakes there are expensive, very expensive. So to get back to this, the person contacts the real estate company about a house for sale. I'd like to see it. The smart agent will say, are you working with an agent now? Do you have a pre-approval? Have you ever bought a house before? When can we sit down and meet? If the people say, look, I just want to see the house. I really don't want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got to do some work on educating them about, you know, this is the largest financial event of most people's lives. Don't you think you might want to take a cup of iced tea's time to get ready if you walk into something you really love about what to do next?
That's correct.
And one of the very best people at doing this is my colleague Mark Seiden in Briarcliff Manor, who tells people before they go out that they're going to spend 2 hours of their life in his office getting a baccalaureate in what to expect. And he's got well-educated, well-informed clients.
See, I also know Mark, and Mark is someone who also practices buyer representation agreements, which I think is phenomenal.
Brilliant.
Me
brilliant.
Too. I'm
yes.
in.
Yeah. Yes. So, and why would a buyer want to sign a contract tethering them to an agent? Well, the answer to that is because that now raises the agent's obligations to you to the highest level statute allows.
That's right. See, my question would be, why would someone not want to do that?
For the same reason you retain an attorney, for the same reason
right.
you hire a CPA, they now work for you.
Correct. The reason they wouldn't want to is because they're afraid of the perceived lack of professionalism that they may encounter, and they're afraid they're going to get tethered, if you will, to the wrong person.
Yeah,
which is why they need to sit down for an hour minimum to sit down and understand what the expectations are and have the professional show them what they can do for them.
So as the professional is educating you, you're also getting an opportunity to interview them and find out how much they really know and how well they can actually
Absolutely.
Help you.
That's the opportunity for the consumer. And it's important, I think, for the consumer to understand you're not chained to a crummy agent when you sign a contract. They hear contract and they think, oh, I'm chained to a, you know, I'm taking the risk of being chained married, if you will, joined at the hip with an agent that's not going to work out for me. You can fire that agent. But I will tell you this. When you sign a contract, it binds the other side to do their job. Because if they don't fulfill the terms of the contract, guess what? They're in breach and you can release them.
That's correct.
Correct. Let's talk about communication. Because this is absolutely in line with that.
Mm-hmm.
The number one thing people are looking for is communication. They want to not only understand what the expectations are, but they want to be kept in the loop.
Right.
Just tell me what's going on.
The stress involved with hundreds of thousands and seven figures sometimes of money, dollars, stresses people out to an enormous degree. And it's not something that they're commonly doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that they're used to. And they need their hand held. They need someone to guide them and advise them.
They need someone to take control of the situation
yeah.
and fill them in as to what's going on along the way.
Correct. Let me ask a question. If you go on a trip nowadays, do you ever go anywhere without plugging the sucker into your GPS?
No.
Why?
No, because you want to know where you're going.
Exactly.
Yeah, so people want to see the roadmap. So when there's a showing on a house, the seller is going to want to know what the feedback was. Now, I have kind of two sides of a coin about
yeah.
feedback.
I'm not a big fan of
All
feedback.
Right. So if you're a
if
buyer's agent.
If we liked the house, we would have made an offer.
Yeah, right. The best feedback is, you know, an offer. If you're a buyer's agent, I don't have time to debrief you. It's not,
right.
the seller's not my client. And by the way, I'm not going to tip my client's hand about what,
right.
you know, what their feelings are because
and
I don't want to.
And if you can't reduce the price of the house on your own, then what does that tell me about
yeah,
you?
I'm not going to conspire you with
I don't, you
to lower the price.
You don't need my opinion so that you can go there and use me as the crutch to do your job.
Yeah, and do you need me to tell you that the driveway goes like that
right.
at, you know, 70 degrees?
Yes.
No, you don't need, you need me to tell you that the basement smells like a swamp? No. However, when you are the seller's agent, it really is important that you follow up with everybody to show the house because that helps the seller stay sane. It helps the seller understand how this process works. It lets them know that you're not just a turnstile for their house.
Right. We didn't just take this listing, throw it into MLS, and hope for the best.
And it lets them know that you care. So, like I said, it's two sides of the same coin. I can't sell your house if I'm running around chasing feedback all the time. But on the other hand, we really do have to communicate. So that's why we get paid what we get paid when it closes. Of course, when it doesn't close, we don't get paid anything.
Yes.
But this is a high risk, high reward business.
But I will say this. You know, if you are getting a lot of showings and you're not getting an offer, usually it's
that's
price.
The only feedback you need is
you don't need anything
or
else.
The smell.
The high bidder gets the house.
Well, if
so
there's
if you're
a smell,
the high bidder is the seller, well, you're going to keep the house.
But if there's a smell, you have to reduce the price or get rid of the smell, you know. So
yeah.
I need to do my job as a listing agent if I'm in that situation. So we are getting all of the appointments, so I'm obviously doing something right. We're getting people into the house. You don't really need the feedback. If there's no offer, there's something else wrong.
So here's an issue. The agent who gets the feedback that is, let's just say, unsavory and is reluctant to share that with the seller because they feel the seller sometime will be angry at them. And right. We only have about another minute or
so. That person is not in control and they're not communicating properly. I cannot believe how quickly this went. We have so many other things we wanted to talk about tonight.
We have two literal minutes before we have to cut out.
Okay.
Is that metric or regular minutes?
Metric. We always do metric. Now we're hip.
Okay.
Oh, is that hip?
I don't know. I'm from the Bronx. I'm just trying to keep up with Veranda over here.
Right. Okay. That's not an easy task.
So next week we're going to be talking about social media and real estate. Once again, Victoria, any parting remarks?
Well, I do truly believe that professionalism is something that the consumer should get. And we as an industry need to be a little bit more professional with each other as well. Communication goes a long way, not just with the consumer, but with each other. We need to build better relationships, which was last week's topic, and we also need to understand social media a little bit better, which is why that's our next week's topic.
Great. Phil?
Well, I think that the consumer should ask for demand and not settle for anything less than professionalism, and it has a lot to do with the questions they ask. So now we're going to talk about how to reach us, right?
Yep. How do we reach you, Phil?
JPhillip.com, or if you're feeling creative, WestchesterRealEstate.net.
Vinny, how do we reach you?
Go to PresentYes.com.
And I'm Victoria Rivadeneira, your host of the Real Estate Revolution. I can be reached at Victoria, R-I-V-A. We are so glad that you joined us today, and we look forward to having you with us next week as well.
Yes, thanks for joining the Real Estate Revolution. For Victoria Rivadeneira and Phil Veranda, this is Vinny Romano reminding you we're here every Wednesday at 6 p.m., and next week we'll be talking about social media and real estate.
And we have Paul Oster.
And we have Paul Oster, and we have Dave Weinstein.
Yes, we do.
Going to be our guests, so please join us for the Real Estate Revolution.
Thanks for joining in the revolution. Now you have the real estate solution. Every Wednesday night at 6, it's a program you should pick. Join us for the revolution.
Thanks for joining the Real Estate Revolution with your host, Victoria Rivadeneira. We're live from New York every Wednesday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. for everything real estate, right here on WRCR AM 1700 on air and simulcast on the web at WRCR.com. And we're streaming live on Periscope, Facebook, Meerkat, and YouTube. So come back every week for the Real Estate Revolution.